Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the John Fugelsang Podcast.
This is SiriusXM Progress. I'm John Fugelsang. Welcome to the night shift. This is Tell Me Everything, live from Manhattan and Brooklyn and South Carolina. The hardest working show in radio, bringing good trouble to the right-wing bubble. Hope you had a great week. I'm glad you're still with us. I'm glad we all made it through. For the next 3 hours, we're going to be at 866-997-4748. We are going to be trying to make sense of the week we just got through. Everything from the Mar-a-Lago very special Nazi Thanksgiving all the way, well, through how Joe Biden and the White House and the Republican Party handled deciding railway workers couldn't get 7 paid sick leave days a year. In between, there's Nick Fuentes. There's everything else that's happened in politics over the last week. Play a little bit of Joe Biden, because the reporters were asking him for thoughts and some clarification about this railroad worker contract he negotiated.
President Biden, do the freight rail workers deserve more than one day of paid sick leave, like millions of Americans have? And if so, why didn't you negotiate for that when you were helping to negotiate that contract that you now want Congress to impose?
I love you guys. I negotiated a contract no one else could negotiate. The only thing that was left out was whether or not it was paid leave. You know, I've been trying to get paid leave, not just for rail workers, for everybody. But that other team, they call the Republicans, they voted against it. They said we couldn't do it. We're one of the few nations in the world that don't have paid leave for our workers. And so what we're doing is we can't afford to have, and by the way, in the meantime, they got a 45% increase in salary, et cetera. There's a lot of good things that happened in that. And in fact, this shuts down over the question of 1 to 5 paid, or 7 or 9, whatever the numbers, and be negotiated of paid leave days. It's going to immediately cost 750,000 jobs and cause a recession. And so what I've made it really clear is that what was negotiated was so much better than anything they ever had, that it's worth, and they all signed on to it, by the way. There are only 4 unions that, out of the 13 or 14 that didn't agree. So the majority at the time was that I presented it, they asked me to do it, I presented it, they all signed on. But here's the story. It doesn't mean because we are going to pass this, God willing, that I'm going to back off of paid leave. I made it really clear I'm going to continue to fight for paid leave for not only rail workers, but for all American workers.
I mean, what do you think? Look, he didn't give up on Build Back Better. He made that limp back later, and he got it passed. I do believe Joe Biden, in his heart, really wants to get that paid leave for the rail workers. I hate it. I understand everything he's saying. I understand that the economy can't afford major shutdowns due to a strike right before the holidays. It would be terrible. It would be terrible politically and economically. But, I mean, it sucks so bad.
In my dream world, a strong Democratic president, an LBJ level shit stirrer. You're not cashing in and asking your friends in the unions to take a hit. You're calling up the owners and the people that are on the other side of this, and you're bullying them into giving paid sick leave.
Yeah,
that's what you're doing. And it's, and you're, you know, this seems, it's like, and you know, because of these votes, he's not alone in this. This is a unanimous across Congress thing, too. So
I know.
We've all got to kind of sit with it. And
what sucks the most, this would be such a winner for Biden. And again, no one's ever going to use it against the Republicans that they don't care about workers getting paid sick leave, but they'll use it against the Democrat.
Sure. Sure. Because you made yourself vulnerable to being hypocritical.
Exactly. Oh, my God. We want to know what you guys think about this and everything else. We're at 866-997-4748. Let's get to your calls. Patrick in Virginia. Welcome.
Hey, John. How are you
doing? Hi. I'm great. How are you?
Good. I've been listening and just commenting on some things. 45% increase is pretty good in pay.
Mm-hmm. For the rail workers? Yeah.
The deal, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why they don't have, I have to earn sick leave at my company. And, it's great if you can get it. And I get it. It's just I got to earn it. If I overuse it, then, it comes out.
And again.
Well, here's the deal. Let me quote Robert Reich, because he put this out earlier tonight. He said, railroads made $21 billion in profits the first 9 months of this year. $21 billion in profits through September of 2022. Guaranteeing 7 paid sick days to rail workers would cost the industry $321 million a year. That is 1.5% of their profits. I mean, it's a drop in the bucket for them. It's a drop in the mine shaft for them.
Yep.
They could have done it. It's still greed. It's this thing that's driving our economy, that's driving our inflation. It's still the greed. So I agree. They made concessions. They will have better lives, better packages. But man, Republicans filibustered the Democratic bill that would give these workers 7 days of paid sick leave. And no one's talking about that. They're talking about the fact that Biden broke a promise.
Yep. Well, it's
a tough call.
It's a total different mindset. And, maybe I'm brainwashed just as much as I think that the other side's brainwashed.
How are you brainwashed? By wanting, we call these workers essential, but we won't give them paid sick leave? I mean, I don't think you're brainwashed at all. You're actually on the side of compassion and the side of a stronger economy.
This is the way it always is, though. Because by federal mandate, they're entitled to sick leave, but just unpaid. You don't go to work, you don't get paid.
But also, how many workers, if they get sick, are going to? But this means if you're working for the railroads and you're sick, there will be some people who will go to work sick. This is what we learned in COVID. You have to give people paid sick leave because otherwise you're going to have more sick people.
So the other guy on the phone is saying that you shouldn't earn from loyalty or from for the time that you've been there, you shouldn't earn sick leave. He's saying that if you don't go to work, you don't get paid?
No, I'm saying that the rules as they exist now, there's a federal mandate that says that they are entitled to sick leave, but they either don't get paid for it or they have to use vacation time.
That's it. You can take 7 days off, but you won't get your pay on those days. And there will be some people who will show up to work to still get paid.
I'm 60 years old, and the company I work for just got taken over by another contracting company. And I lost all, I got paid out for the time I had left over, but, I've got for the holiday, I'm like, I'm going to take 2 days off, maybe. For Christmas, just because it's a new company, so I don't have any seniority. And,
I hear you.
So, I feel you. I'm not suffering, but it's just it sucks, I'll be honest with you. At my age, to be having to deal with that shit and just go, I'll take a day off without pay. No.
It's crazy. It's madness. And again, I'm the side that believes American workers deserve better. Our capitalist allies don't have these problems. All of our capitalist allies that have that socialized healthcare, they don't have to have GoFundMes to pay for surgery. They don't have to choose food, medicine, or rent. Our capitalist allies have socialized healthcare, and they don't have these conversations. You stay home until you're better, and the economy's stronger for it.
Wow. That's a great point.
Yeah. Patrick, you're a gentleman.
You'll never get
thank
that
you.
Socialist part, Ben. Thank you, John, for talking again.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the conversation. 866-997-4748. A lot of people want to talk about this tonight. We're going to get to all of you. Let me go to Linda in Iowa. Hi, Linda.
Oh, John, I am so grateful I was able to talk to you, and I was so grateful. Well, first of all, being from Iowa, we were just heartsick because we had a red wave in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very disheartening. And, of course, we're losing the Iowa caucuses tonight, and people always say, well, we're not diverse enough. But, you know, in 2020, Pete Buttigieg came in first.
That's right.
Bernie Sanders came in second. Elizabeth
Barack Obama, your state primary is the reason Barack Obama became president in 2008.
Yes. And I think one thing about Iowa, it's a small state, so the candidates can go around several times, but also you're surrounded by Nebraska, Minnesota, Wisconsin, you know, Illinois, Missouri from the south. And I feel like, in a way, they did not invest, the DNC did not invest in Admiral Mike Franken's campaign. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe this is a cynical part of me that says, well, Iowa, we forget them. We only have, what, 3 or 4 electoral votes. We're not going to invest in them. And we had this wonderful African-American woman running for governor. In 2018, we had over 100 Democratic organizations invested in our governor's campaign, with Fred Hubble was running, with Rita Hart.
Yeah.
This year, we only had 20. So I thought George Gale was making a very important point that you need to invest in your rural areas. A lot of people just did not get out to vote this year, which was unfortunate. Didn't vote. And we had in our local Iowa House legislature race, we had held that seat for 50 years. And the woman who was running, boy, I bet you she knocked on every door in Clinton County like 3 or 4 times. And unfortunately, it just didn't matter. And then the other thing, John, my sister's a healthcare professional, and she works in Iowa in long-term care. She just went to, they had like an organizational meeting, and they talked about the results of the election, and they feel that it's going to take 2 generations for Iowa to get back on like the Democratic path.
Well, and, you know, like, what? But we had to hit a break. But while I worry about that, I also think that good can come from this. So I know a lot of Iowans are sad about losing their status of having the leadoff spot for the primary season. But I do think that this will be much more diverse. I've always thought they should have 5 different primaries and caucuses on the first day and not just have it come down to one state. I love Iowa. It's not the most diverse state, and this will make more diverse states have a voice. Iowa will still have a voice. But I do agree with you that there is an incredible Democratic movement in Iowa that's waiting to be tapped into, and I can't wait for it to start seeing it win statewide elections. Thank you so much for the call, Linda. We got to hit a break. We'll be right back with your calls all the way till midnight.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
This is SiriusXM Progress. I'm John Fugelsang. Thank you so much for joining us. By the way, 11 years, that's what Joel Greenberg got in prison time, the disgraced former tax collector and dude bro of Congressman Matt Gaetz for all of his alleged crimes, including a lot of financial crimes and sex trafficking a minor, identity theft, you know, guy shit. A couple months ago, someone indicated to the DOJ that the DOJ would not pursue charges against Matt Gaetz, and Greenberg cooperated with federal authorities. So maybe Matt Gaetz is in the clear, but his friend, who apparently he had a lot of fun with, is going away. I am now really pleased to welcome back to the show our own Thea Harper with another edition of The Minority Report.
Let's face facts, cause we know what's the real motives. In the land of the free is for the freeloaders. Leave us dead in the street to be the organ donors. They disorganized my people, made us all loners. Still got the last names of our slave owners. In the land of the free is for the freeloaders. Leave us dead in the street to be the organ donors. They disorganized my people, made us all loners.
And welcome back, Ms. Harper. It's great to have you.
Hey, John.
Hey, thank you for doing this. Just so you know, guys, I beg Thea to come on the show all the time, but she's usually too cool for me and Chris. But we beg her. She gives us this one segment a week, but we're trying to coerce her into coming on more often. How was your Thanksgiving, Ms. Harper?
It was okay. Not a big Thanksgiving. Just yeah. Really small.
Same.
Yeah.
Same here. Well, okay. Thank you. Listen, I'll get right to it because, you know, you bring a lot of powerful stories to us in this segment, but you've got something this week that's really, really moving. A lot of people might not have heard of you know, what's going on in the Fruit Belt neighborhood of Buffalo. But boy, I didn't know what was going on until you sent this piece from NBC News about black leaders on Buffalo East Side are building markets to address food insecurity. What is going on?
Right. So, I know we all remember the tragedy that happened back in May at the Tops supermarket where a gunman killed 10 black residents. It got a lot of national news attention, and we learned that the neighborhood is predominantly black and the neighborhood is a food desert because the Tops supermarket was the only supermarket on the east side. Well, it's been 6 months since the shooting, and access to grocery stores and fresh produce is still an issue for this community. There are people that are really taking matters into their own hands to address this issue. Organizations like African Heritage Food Co-op, Buffalo's Black Billion, and New Water Associates are building supermarkets and growing gardens and investing in providing fresh fruits and vegetables to residents. Their goal really is to create a self-sufficient community.
It's amazing. You know, this is an issue very close to my heart because we don't talk about food deserts very much in the mainstream media. And I made a film about this for PBS a couple of years ago about how for so many people in this country, I mean, they buy their food at the 99-cent store or at the gas station because they don't have ways to get to grocery stores where they sell fresh produce. It really seems like these residents of the Buffalo area have just gotten tired of waiting for government or private business to solve these problems, and they are just fixing it themselves and bringing healthy produce to the people of the area and not waiting for someone to bring it to them.
That's correct. I mean, waiting on corporation to build a supermarket in these food deserts is just something that will probably won't happen. And it's because these issues are really, it's deep rooted because of racial segregation and redlining policies.
That's it.
That were put in place years ago. According to a 2018 report by the Partnership for Public Good, a Buffalo-based think tank, they said Black Buffalo residents are 6 times more likely to live in an area without a grocery store compared to white residents.
Now think about that. Think about in terms of the poverty, and then think about in terms of the healthcare costs for the community. I mean, when people don't have access to healthy food, this is why we talk about having obese poor people. And this is what makes poverty worse. It's what drives up healthcare costs. It's bad for communities. It's bad for states. And, you know, to say nothing of the fact that it's totally amoral. And you're right. I mean, to mention redlining, because this totally, you can trace back to how when segregation ended, they found ways to have all new segregation that people didn't even sign up for.
Right. And Alex Wright, who's the founder of the African Heritage Food Co-op, said, you know, because of the discrimination, he doesn't call it food desert.
What does he call it?
He calls it food apartheid. He says you have to use that word because it was racism through and through. And I really love that he said that, because
that's brilliant.
Because calling it a food desert is like saying, oh, it just so happened to be that way. It just happened that there's no access to grocery stores. And that just makes no sense. I think by calling it food apartheid explains that this is based on race. And it is, because when white flight happened, companies saw a chance for larger profit in white suburban neighborhoods. And they, you know, put all their supermarkets there. So they, you know, didn't see Black neighborhoods as a place where they can make money. And you would think they would focus on areas where there is a need, but that's just not the case.
And again, we have to bring up the fact that the murderer who targeted these poor people in this top supermarket in Buffalo did it because he spent some time researching New York State counties and determined that this was the county with the largest percentage of African-American citizens in the population. He wanted to hurt as many non-white people as he could. And that's why he went to this place that, as you point out, has already had so much institutionalized hardship for so many years. And yeah, I mean, so many of these corporations don't want to build supermarkets in Black communities, but that's why this story is so beautiful to me. Tell me about Buffalo Black Billion. I know that's led by a pastor from the St. John and Gethsemane Missionary Baptist Churches. What are they doing, the Buffalo Black Billion?
Yeah, so they have invested millions into 43 blocks of the Fruit Belt over the past two decades to build over 70 townhomes, a senior family center, a hospice facility, and other establishments to help strengthen the neighborhood.
It's great. That's just great. And I mean, this is just, it seems like this is how it's going to be. I mean, it seems like it's going to take people in the community doing this themselves and finding a way to actually start balancing the scales. I read in this piece that from 2016 to 2018, Black people in Erie County lost 5,000 more years of potential life than white people, according to a report by the University of Buffalo. It's like these injustices are built into the system, and we've all grown up with it, white and Black, and so many of us don't even notice it.
Yeah, I mean, when we're talking about food deserts, you know, that leads, or food apartheid, you know, that leads to chronic illnesses. And it also could lead to premature death.
Wow. This is a really uplifting story that I kind of needed to hear. Thea, is there anything else we should know?
I mean, I really applaud these organizations for addressing this health and racial equity issue, and for stepping up the way they did. They're really building up their community and making it sustainable and improving the quality of life of residents. So I really applaud them for all that.
It's fantastic. Doing. I like any of these programs also that just work with, you know, businesses to provide healthy food options in convenience stores. It just seems like really, really smart for the community. It's just, you know, we all pay for these public health costs. Thea Harper, I love this story. Thank you again. There's a piece in NBC News that I'll share. Black leaders on Buffalo's East Side are building markets to address food insecurity. Just brilliant. Thank you so much, Thea, as always.
Thank you.
Thank you. We really do have the best team here. It's a little embarrassing that they are all forced to work with me. Yeah. Thea Harper. Ladies and gentlemen, we're at 866-997-4748, 866-997-GRIT. Let me just play a really quick one, because this is the weirdest thing you'll hear all day. This was yesterday. Madison Cawthorn said goodbye to the House of Representatives. And before he left, this man who's been seen in a lot of videos with his friend grabbing his dick or naked humping his friend in a hotel bed offered a fiery and mind-boggling admonition of the weak modern man.
Madam Speaker, it used to be a rite of passage in this country for young men to be punched in the face when they did something stupid.
What?
Our nation used to believe that there was strength and purpose in taking the hits, learning from your mistakes, and growing through the adversity. America is weak. Her sons are sickly and her daughters are decrepit. Our country now faces the consequences of enabling a participation trophy society. We are no longer the United States. We have become the nanny state. Our young men are taught that weakness is strength, that delicacy is desirable, and that being a soft metrosexual is more valuable than training the mind, body, and soul. Social media has weakened us, siphoning our men of their will to fight, to rise in a noble manner, square their jaws, and charge once more into the breach of life to defend what they love. So on this precipice of disaster, I ask the young men of this nation a question. Will you sit behind a screen while the story tales of your forefathers become myth? Or will you stand resolute against the dying light of America's golden age? Will you reclaim your masculinity? Will you become a man to be feared, to be respected, to be looked up to? Or will you let this nation's next generation be its final generation? With that, I yield back.
So my takeaway is that we should punch Madison Cawthorn in the face, all Americans, to show our manhood. I don't know, that was my takeaway. Let's get to the phone. Sheila in Texas, thank you for your patience. Hello.
I'm going to miss that.
Hey, John, you're reading my mind. I was like, well, how can I punch him in the face?
Right,
I'd love
on.
To. Anyway, I read something from a Fort Worth resident today that said that there's a state rep over there, Mr. Matt Krause, who is going to bring up the no-fault divorce thingy again and with the Republicans. And try to make it illegal, which aligns with the abortion ban. These $6.
Yeah. Right, one of these.
They did it in 2017. Someone tried to bring it up, and it failed. And they're going to keep trying to bring it up. But
why is it? Because is it because he's pretending to be Christian, or is it because he's a guy and he hates no fault divorce courts?
He hates no fault divorce courts and never wants to pay child support. I guess I don't.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
But it connects to the rural voter thing here that I live in the middle of. They know what they need to do, and then they go to church, and their preacher tells them to do something else, and that's how they vote.
Yeah, you know? That's it.
So that's how it is. That's how it is there. But I want to ask you a question.
Please.
Are you still, with your beautiful child, are you still Santa's helper, or is he too old to have a Santa's helper?
What do you mean?
You know, like a Santa helper, like on Christmas night and stuff. Like, I don't want to say it out loud.
What do you mean? Like, does he still believe in Santa?
Does your child still believe in Santa Claus?
As far as I know, he still believes in Santa. Yes.
Okay. He also
believes in democracy and college, and we're letting him believe all these things as long as we can.
But those are the best times of my life. So that's why I brought it up.
Sitting here talking about like Santa is the female orgasm or something. No, Santa's real.
No, Chris, I've told you the female orgasm is real. Santa's not. We've been through this. I showed you the chart.
I didn't want to say either one of those out loud.
That whole show I did with the puppets, I tried to explain it all to you. Weren't you paying attention? Santa's fake, but the female orgasm is a real thing. Oh, Chris. All right.
Love you guys.
See you done, Sheila. Thank you. Have a good night. 866-997-4748. Charles in Miami. My God, you've been on hold forever. Thank you.
How you doing?
Hi. How are you, sir?
Okay. No problem. I'm going to be short tonight, but I think the question is to you. How do we approach this? Is the judge alien canon?
Yes. Alien canon.
But I think we should be offended by what she did as far as helping Trump out. Is there any recourse that we, as a collective, as the progressive community, do we go all out and try to get her censured? And my second question is, there's a lame duck session coming up. And Donald Trump, with the last tax break that they took, the largest tax break ever that they made in the law, actually became Robin Hood to the rich. Where they started making working people pay more in taxes. So I think, whatever tax credits that we got, like child subsidies, I think your home exemption, I'm not sure. But doesn't this Democratic, majority, don't they owe it to us now to try to reverse this in the lame duck session? And damn that tax code, rich people shouldn't be getting all these tax breaks in the first place. So,
of course, but how's that going to change? That's not going to change until you get 60 Democrats in the Senate, and even then it probably wouldn't change.
Oh, wow.
That's what we're fighting towards, but these things seem to be generational. It doesn't happen easily. Yeah.
That's got to be on the agenda. That's got to be part of the next reason why we got to vote for Democrats.
I'm with you. I'm full of hope. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. 866-997-4748. Mitch in Kent State. How are you, sir?
Thank you, John. Appreciate it. Real good. John, real quick, two drummers born today, Sandy Nelson and also John Densmore of the Doors.
John Densmore I had on my list, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Still with us, John Densmore.
Yeah, he and Robbie Krieger. Yeah, that's just left. John didn't get to call last night about Chrissy McVie, but I never seen McVie with Mac in person. But in the summer of 70, summer of 79, Beach Boys were in town, and the rumors were flying around about her and Dennis, having a thing going on there.
Well, I mean, there wasn't really a rumor. They had a relationship for like 3 years.
Right, right. But anyway, there was the people in the crowd said there was a Chrissy McVie sighting there, at the show. And actually one of the last times the entire band was there. Even Brian was even there.
Really?
Sat at his piano pretty much the whole time, but he was there. And it was really a great show. Anyway, of course, they come back and do the encores. And the last song, Fun, 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 she comes out and helps with the backing vocals.
Wow. Well, yeah, she sang on a Beach Boys record as well.
Yeah, on the L.A. album, the Light album.
Okay, that's it? Yeah.
Yeah, a couple of songs on there. And that year later, Fleetwood Mac was on tour for the Tusk album, and kind of a tribute to the Beach Boys, they did the song Farmer's Daughter, an old Beach Boy.
Oh, really? Jeez, man, I have to turn to you to be out-geeked every time. I thought I did a good job covering her career and her solo work last night, but you put me to shame, sir.
Well, I just, anything pre-1980, John, I'm good. So, but, just so sadly missed. I mean, my God, especially, I call the middle Mac era. I mean, when she joined about the time of Future Games and Bare Trees with Danny Kirwan and Bob Welch, I mean, those were some of the greatest albums. I mean, and of course, the early stuff with Free of Green was good too. But
that's true.
They brought the rhythm, and they brought that Fleetwood Mac sound became alive with her voice there.
And, yeah, I mean, it was 74 when they came to become an American band, and they took on Stevie and Lindsey, and that the entire band changed in a way we've never really seen. I mean, it's bigger than Van Halen getting fucking Sammy Hagar. I mean, what they did completely changed everything about that group, Chris.
And we owe it all to a commune in, what was it, Norway? Sweden? And a very long acid trip.
There we go.
They changed Peter Green forever led to him wrested control of the band.
Kind of picked up where Mamas and Papas left off, always thought,
That's true. Yeah, actually trading off the lead singer. All right, something else we can thank LSD for. Mitch, you're a gentleman. Thank you very much.
Peace. Thank you, John.
Peace. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with your calls at 866-997-4748. I'm John Fugelsang. This is SiriusXM Progress. We're at 866-997-4748. Here's really quick. President Biden earlier today took some time to crow about a successful economy and the good jobs numbers at a time when Wall Street is all but begging for a recession.
For months, you couldn't look anywhere without seeing headlines screaming gas prices at the pump are up. But look, folks, gas prices are down. And you barely hear anything about it right now. They're continuing to go down. And there's a lot more that's going to happen. They're down more than $1.50 a gallon since the summer. And they continue to fall. And our economy continues to grow. The economic report, the GDP is up even more than it was previously thought. We continue to create jobs, lots of jobs. And today, we've learned that the economy added 263,000 jobs in November. And we've now created 10.5 million jobs since I took office, more than any administration in history at this point in the presidency. And 750,000 of them are domestic manufacturing jobs made in America. Unemployment rate remains near an all-time 50-year low, 3.7%. And wages for working families, I want to say this again, wages for working families, in fact, over the last couple months have gone up. these wage increases are larger than the increase in inflation during that same period of time. And so we're in a position now where things are moving. They're moving in the right direction.
Let's get to the calls. 866-997-GRIT. David in Connecticut, you've been on hold forever. Thank you so much.
Calling in to John.
David, are you there?
Oh, this is me.
Hi. Yeah, this is it.
I was listening to Uncle Joe B.
Oh, okay. But yeah, well, he's done now, and this is your moment. We're listening to you.
Nah,
how
man,
are you?
Play some more Uncle Joe. Hey, I'm all right, bro. How you doing?
I'm very good. Happy Thank Friday. You. What's up? Happy Friday
brother
to you.
John, brother John, got it going on.
Okay. Yes, I do indeed have it going on.
Another Looney Tune wink, but a Looney Tune week, I was going to say.
This week was just too crazy. Remember when the week began and we were all talking about Nazi Thanksgivings and it was so simple back then?
It was so, wasn't it all so simple then? Well, you know, I do believe that it's a walk and chew gum moment because I'm aware of the whole shiny object problem that can potentially happen. And while we're, you know, rightfully so, we have to tend to the Nazis going to an ex-president's home for Thanksgiving BS. Yes. We have to handle that. And I think more or less people are doing a good job in the media handling that. I actually think so too.
Uncharted
waters here.
Listen, here's the deal. I've always thought the worst thing they pulled on Gen X and millennials and Gen Z was I think we were kind of raised to think that somehow all of these racisms and anti-Semitisms and that they'd all been conquered somehow, like Martin Luther King did it. Yeah. And that we killed the Nazis and established Israel. And like, you know, our forefathers really fought this fight. And now prejudice has been, if not completely defeated, well, people are way too embarrassed to ever admit it. I remember the first time I was ever out with another teenager and they told me they didn't like Jewish people. And I was shocked. I was shocked because we're on Long Island. I'm like, you're living in the wrong place. But I was also shocked that somebody would admit they didn't like Jewish people. I thought, wouldn't you be ashamed of being a bigot? And now suddenly everyone's shocked because I guess we were raised to think that our heroes had solved these problems. But no, the bigotry's all still there. And as I like to say, you know, it's been there all along. America is like an old couch and Donald Trump is the black light. And he is making these stains shine bright, but they've been there for a long time.
Oh, that's a really good one, man. You're so good at all those sayings, bro.
Oh, hardly.
I had one in my, about 5 minutes ago, I had one in my mind that I was going to quote back to you. And I think I lost that train of thought, but I'll catch the next one. But, you know, I was.
If you're smoking weed, keep a pen and paper nearby.
Yeah, smoke them if you got them. Yeah, somebody used to say that on the air. I forget what DJ that was, but that's another good one. I do take heed. But, you know, I have my own version of what you just said about just that moment of surprise where someone would sort of admit that to you in a social setting. Like, where did that come from? You have that feeling. Like, I grew up in New York, as I've said to you in the past, and I moved up to Connecticut junior year of high school. So it was, you know, I was around 16.
Right.
I was 16 when I came up here, and it was a bit of a culture shock at the time. This was in the 87, 88. So it was, you know, it was a bit of a culture shock for me just because I was in the beautiful, like, cultural melting pot in Westchester County where my particular neighborhood was like the United Nations. So that's where I grew up, where it's just like the Depeche Mode song, People Are People, man. That was just a beautiful thing. I was aware of all the ugliness. And actually, I was one of those white kids who was really interested in learning about civil rights. So I was very aware. Came up here, not very far away, less than 2 hours. And I was aware of a cultural shift just to say that I met a lot of lovely people up here. I mean, I don't regret the move at all. But what I was aware of was, I guess, the lack of awareness that we're talking about. And in certain subtle ways, it seeped through. And I realized, wow, man, like a lot of folks just aren't aware of, you know.
Of what? Of just basic bigotry just, existing in our midst?
Yeah, like what you just described, that it's right there under the surface. The whole, that analogy about the black light with stains on the couch. I mean, it was right there under the surface. And that's one of the reasons why, for example, well, of course, we know that's why they're attacking education, because they're so freaked out about people learning these truths.
Sure.
And that's why I've really appreciated, for example, things like Rachel Maddow's Ultra podcast, It's an 8-part series. I'm sure you're aware of it if you haven't heard it already. But it's a history lesson of how, you know, this ugliness has really been intertwined with our history for a long time.
And in this country, always.
Yeah. And in particular, you know, Nazism in America. And this is stuff that this is material that I would say 99% of us, if not 100% of us, never heard in school.
Yeah, so, of course.
And they're paranoid about the truths getting out, but they are getting out, and that's a positive thing. And that's what I was going to say before about, like, you know, not getting so caught up with the shiny object of talking about, you know, the whole triad of Trump, Elon, Kanye bullshit, but to also be aware of what are the seismic shifts that are happening politically as we tend to get too caught up in the shiny object over there. And when we look at, you know, the kind of week that we just had, the DOJ victories, the presence of Jack Smith.
the presence of Jack Smith. You know, Donald Trump's tax returns are in the hands of the House Democrats for at least another 29 days.
And, you know, whatever they can do, hopefully if they feel the need, they kick it to the Senate, if that helps, whatever. But also, like, the momentum going into Tuesday, I mean, I definitely don't want to get overconfident, but I just feel good about, like, I heard a Raphael Warnock clip just before I muted the news earlier, and I'm glad I heard it, because one of his clips in his speech today was, Georgia, we're better than this. We're better than Herschel Walker.
Oh, Warnock's taking the gloves off. Warnock would not talk about Herschel's personal scandals at all in the fall campaign, and now he's just throwing it all out on the table. Warnock's
cool.
You hear that motherfucker pulled a gun in another woman's head? Warnock doesn't care.
Well, it's cool that he didn't lead. He didn't feel the need to lead with that material. He's sort of just kind of like peppering the meal with it, you know?
And that's, well, I mean, still, there's a runoff and like 200,000 Republicans voted for Governor Kemp, but not Herschel. He's that unpopular, and yet it's still so tight. It's crazy.
Well, yeah.
Warnock is not crazy. What I would call a raging leftist.
I know, man. Well, you know, we'll have a lot of time to analyze what's going on down there. And I don't know how much the hijinks that are going on, you know, Kemp orchestrated stuff is affecting this particular election. But I do want to find out. And my principal go to for material like that is the journalist Greg Palast, who recently did a film called Vigilante, I believe.
He's great. Yeah, I love him.
And Mark Elias, if I'm saying his name right, from
he's
Democracy
great, yeah.
Docket. Yeah, those two guys, they drill down on what's going on. So when I'm having conversations with people who act like they don't know what's going on, I just try to catch my breath, take a deep breath, and relay them to sources of information that maybe will help them be more informed. But I don't know, man. I feel like everything's coming to a head, and there's a lot to be kind of anxious about, but there's also a lot to be hopeful about.
So I always feel like everything you want to show me in America that's horrible, I will agree with you, and then I will show you five things in America that are wonderful that aren't getting the clicks or the eyeballs or the ratings. We are always getting better as we are getting worse, and I'm always trying to remember as a recovering cynic to pay attention to the good stuff too.
Absolutely. And bro, let me just say this real quick, because I'm going to exit stage left so we can get other beloveds on.
Please do.
Shout out to the whole community. And bro, please, man, you always do a good job. But this week in particular, bro, on the heels coming out of the holiday weekend, every day, your monologues, bro, your monologues.
Oh,
you've been grand slamming it all week. And I just want to say thank you.
Well, you know, the guy who owns the show and is trying to kill me for the insurance money, he decided we were going to make this thing into a podcast. And SiriusXM, after years of us begging, finally said, yeah, go ahead. So now every show has to start off with a big rant. I feel like Tom Hartman's inbred brother with a crank problem. But I thank you for the kind words. I really do appreciate it, David. Have a great weekend, okay?
It is weird how accommodating they were about that. It
was just for years, like, they wouldn't do it.
Whatever you want. Yeah, go ahead.
A couple years ago, they were like having us do a tour, and me and Dean and Pete were doing like tours at colleges in New England. And I was saying to the executives, you know, baby, if you let me do a weekly 1-hour podcast of the show, it could be a good free commercial for the programming you're doing here on the Insight Show. No, shut down. And then I don't know. This year, they just said, yeah, okay, you can do it. So now we put a little chunk of this out every day for free. For the people who are really, you know, masochistic. But yeah, they let us do it right away. It was so nice.
I do splice subliminal messages into a lot of them.
I've been told about that, yeah. And I'm told you really, you cut them pretty brutally, I understand, as well. I often found out you just actually played the beginnings and ends of my monologues and usually put about 40 minutes of Patriot Channel content.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. There was one episode where it was all just the breaths. It was, I cut all the words out and just left, the, yeah, just.
Yeah, I like that too. That was great. Yeah. Yeah. But it was strange to tune in and hear, you know, Tim Pool talking for 40 minutes on my show. But I realized you had a busy day. You just have to, you know, tighten things up. I can't make fun of Tim Pool. He was the least anti-Semitic on that show. And this year, that's saying something. Quick break. We'll be right back with your calls on Progress. I'm John Fugelsang. This is Progress After Dark. 866-997-4748 is our number. Kat in Dallas, thank you so much for your patience. Hello.
Hi, John. How are you doing today?
Very good. How are you?
Good. I was looking at a lot of stuff, and I want to first say that I am in a union, and I'm in the United Coal Workers of America, and these rail workers have every right to be upset. They literally had us people working in the coal workers, they would have you go home and come back with barely 7 hours of sleep.
Wow.
To do your shift. Being in a union is not as what everyone thinks it is. Okay, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. They have every right to be upset. And so I want to say that first off and foremost.
What, unions aren't perfect and can have corrupt elements?
That's true. I am in a union. Yeah. It has protected my job. I literally would be fired thousands of times because of my shenanigans, okay? So right my on. Union has protected me. But I want to emphasize something very important. And please. I hope that Kanye will hear this comment. You know, if Hitler had known him in World War II, and he were in Germany, he would not be a living person.
Correct.
But Hitler would take. Now, this Correct. Is kind of a gross thing, and I'm sorry. I don't want people to be grossed out by this.
That's a little late and on this show, but go ahead.
I apologize if it's macabre, okay?
That's what I sell every day. Go ahead.
Hitler would take people into these showers without water, you know, to put it bluntly. And this was not a good thing because these are people, these are human beings, and he would strip them bare and burn them. And there are literally photographs that are really horrible to look at. I'm reminded of Viktor Orban, if you know who he is.
Yes, of course I know who he is, yeah.
Yes.
Tucker Carlson's role model, I know very well who he is, yeah.
Exactly. I call him Taco Carlson because he seems to enjoy Mexican food, but yet for some reason abhors people from Mexico, but whatever.
There you go. I call him Liar Tuck, but go on. We can do this all night. Go ahead.
There you go. You know, Taco Carlson. Nice. We need to be aware that all this hate is a horrible thing. You know, I've said this over and over again. You know, we're all just people, you know?
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if you're black, white, brown, or red, or whatever you are. But when you look at what happened in the Holocaust, it's pretty horrible. And imagine.
And by the way, it does matter if you're black or brown or red. It actually really does matter.
Well,
it does.
Well, you know what? You know what? In the movies, there was this really in the 70s, there were these movies, these TV shows. I guess it was the Billy Jack movies. Okay, and you know they were really campy. They were really campy, but they really helped you understand what happened to Native Americans. So
right.
I encourage people to tune into those and look at those because you really learn. Okay, and you know, ignore the special effects, but instead learn from the dialogue.
Yes.
But more importantly, people need to understand that 6 million people killed by Hitler. 6 million. Okay. There's no way to excuse that at all.
That's
and
right.
And for Kanye to not comprehend this simple fact.
You're right.
You know, he needs to wake up and realize that if he were a black man in Germany in the 40s, in 1938, whatever, they would put him in a camp, you know, and the camps were not good. They didn't
meet believe
people.
Me. Well, I said when Kanye finally leaves this earth and goes to hell and meets Hitler, he's going to be really shocked at how Adolf doesn't appreciate all those compliments. I mean, to
I
stand
hope
there.
The people that are
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope the people that are right wing that understand. All right. I know that people put down Dick Cheney, but he was a combat veteran and he flew a Thud, which is a really good aircraft.
No, no. Dick Cheney was not a combat veteran. No.
Well, he did shoot a man.
He shot a guy hunting, but he was not a combat.
No, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I got the wrong guy. I'm thinking about the senator. Forgive me. I got my guys mixed up.
John McCain.
John McCain.
John McCain. Yes.
Yes.
Sorry, my bad.
That's okay.
John McCain flew a Thud, as a Thunder Chief.
Yes.
And forgive my lack of.
No worries.
But anyway.
Yeah.
And this is a guy that, even though he was a Republican, and this is when Republicans was a real party. Okay, he fought in a good war. He fought to stop communism, and I'm not going to understand that.
The good war. No one called Vietnam the good war. No one called
it. It wasn't a good war. I mean, it was about rubber and oil and gold. But
that's
I mean,
right.
He thought he was doing a good thing. Yeah, exactly. It was about money.
Look, we can criticize John McCain all day, and he was flying a bombing raid over civilian targets. But at the end of the day, when John McCain was in a Vietnamese prison of war camp, and because he was a fortunate son and his father was connected, they offered him the chance to go home. And he said, unless you free all my brothers that are in here with me, I will not leave. And he chose to stay in jail, and they tortured what we call the fuck out of him for years. And Donald Trump goes on a stage in 2015 and starts denigrating McCain's. And that guy's, you don't get captured.
Imagine them having to cover up the ship, John McCain.
Yeah.
To placate his agenda. It's pretty horrible. This ex-president is something else. He's really quite a baby in a diaper. And honestly, I hope that he does run, because it will wreck the Republican, and I say Republican, not Republican,
okay,
Republican Party, okay?
Yeah.
Because they literally do not have a clue as how wrong they are. I mean, if they could see from the outside what they were doing. But more importantly, Kanye needs to understand that if he were a black man living in 1938 and Hitler were in charge, guess what? My father, who had a copy of Mein Kampf, I grew up with a father who was a kind of a psychopath.
That's okay. I understand.
Would look at Kanye and the things he would say about Kanye would not be good. You know,
no, of course.
If he had met.
But it's a little late for Kanye. It's a little late, right? I mean, Kanye can't fix this anymore. He's done. I mean, you know.
Insanity, whatever, you know. I mean, figure him out.
It doesn't matter. He's done. He's done. The market has decided. He's done.
John, I'm glad to have been on your show.
What
you
a pleasure.
Educate
Thank
me.
You.
I listen to you all the time. And sometimes, I will say this to people. Sometimes you got to take a break from the news because the news is intense.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to take a break, you know. And I literally, for the last 3 days, have just taken a break. Because of my anger about the whole
J6 very healthy
thing.
That's But listen, when you need to take a break from the news, you should take a break from the news. Just come back by election day. Too much disassociation is privilege. We need you in the race. But yeah, it's very healthy, because the news is not designed to make you informed. The news is designed to make you so worried you keep on watching the news. So the show we do here now is very different from the show we did when this was a daytime show. It's evolved a lot as our politics has evolved and our time slot has evolved. But I thank you very much for the kind words.
I'm reminded of the kid that was killed, that was carrying the Skittles and the tea.
Yep.
And I think about that, and people need to understand that. And I'm a white person. I never understood what white privilege was until I saw that happen.
Right.
You know, and so I'm glad that I know that, but I'm sad that I now know that if you drive at night and you're black, you are in danger, and I hope that Kanye never has to experience that.
I hope no one has to experience that, but let's all keep focusing on being parts of the solution and trying to make sure that the non-shitty white people vastly outnumber the shitty white people, because America has been manufacturing more shitty white people, and I thought we'd cease production a while. Growing up, I realized, nope, we keep on making them. Thank you so much for the call.